Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to the Johto Quorum, where we discuss Pokemon and make a better, more perfect Pokemon list. I'm Sigilyph. I'm joined by Altaria.
That's me. Hello. Whoa, squaw! You know?
And Magmar.
Wow,
commitment to the bit. I'm Sex. That's Alan and Magellan.
Hey, what's up?
Good evening.
You know what's up is we're in the middle of Gen 4, and I gotta tell you, this Gen is like it's a Gen of ups and downs. Yeah, it's a land of contrasts over here, where it's like, oh wait, this Gen's actually pretty good. Oh wait, it's bad. Oh wait,
Could you ask for a better Gen for us though?
Yeah.
Oh,
I could.
Gen 5. Yes, you're right.
Would you rather? Here's a question. Would you rather have a gen that's just straight stinkers or a gen that's like just straight amazing?
For the sake of the podcast being fun, I would say straight stinkers.
I mean, I want a good mix throughout. I want, like, the thing is this gen is really streaky. Like okay, let's phrase it the other way. We've kept 2 of the last 14. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Well, those were
my boys. Those were my frog boys that you kept, or what happened there?
Oh yeah, we kept them. Oh, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah. No, actually, if you haven't heard, we actually figured out the truth about those boys, and it's a really sad story, actually.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm partway through the episode, so I'll listen. I do love a sad story.
Yeah. It turns out that that Krogunk used to be on the. What was it? He got a back injury and he can't play anymore.
That's why he's got those
and
bandages.
So he's just sort of like,
yep.
Right. So he's kind of like a team like consultant, but like unofficial. He just sort of hangs out and just remembers the glory days and tries to give advice no one asks for.
Oh, and then he decides to become a wrestler and that's when he evolves. Is that what you're saying?
Well, even worse,
I didn't realize that's
in our storyline, Toxicroak is the older brother who tried out for the NFL and like got to the last round of tryouts and then got rejected, but like he just works out in the basement 24/7 in his parents' house.
God.
Oh, good.
God. It made me want a third evolution, honestly.
Yeah.
Just for more story. Exactly. I love
IT.
Stories. Yeah. No, I think the third evolution is like he got involved in like a soccer riot once, and he got like his nose
moment.
Broken and yeah. It never set right, and ooh. He's just sort of been like he's in constant pain now because his nose never set right again.
Oh no!
Yeah, but like he was there, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like, he was really there.
I was down.
And he tries to play it like, man, you know, it was worth it because I got to, you know, this broken nose is like a sign of my passion for sports. But in real life, he really wishes he could just
Hope
back
Solo
and
punched me in the face. I got right up to the goal.
I almost made it. That's not many people know. That's the goal of a soccer riot is you're trying to dive inside the goal without being stopped.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
Everyone's just running
for
it.
The ball is incidental.
Yeah, you got. That's pretty. You know, honestly, that's pretty good for a non-competitive athlete to make it all that way.
Mm-hmm.
Number 470, Leafeon.
Here's the thing about evolutions. We have to keep every one of them. It's the rule. It's the law. It's the dictated words of the land. All evolutions must stay.
We have established that all the way back in the Kanto quorum. We were like,
the Old Testament
right?
The Johto.
Yeah, back when we were angry gods.
Yeah, I think Moses brought this one down from Mount Sinai.
Yeah, if that's the Old Testament, this is like, the Johto Quorum is all Old Testament. God never chilled out in this timeline.
Six, we got to keep Leafeon, right?
I mean, yeah, you know, it's Leafeon, right? I mean, like, why would we cut
any
human potential or inhuman potential?
I mean, it kind of depends on what you think about the way that Leafeon and Glaceon evolve. These two and I think there's a bunch of other Pokemon that only evolve in certain like physical conditions. Like we talked about, Magnezone only evolves in magnetic fields. Leafeon only evolves in the presence of a moss rock.
To be honest, I think the zone specific ones are usually pretty stupid. They just don't make a lot of sense.
Why don't they make sense?
Why would being around moss make you a different animal?
Well, Eevee evolves based on the environment that it's in. So when it evolves at night, it turns into its night form. When it evolves by grass, it's its grass form. It evolves based on its environment. Nature versus nurture.
But that's like, if it was like, if it had spent a bunch of time there, that would make sense. But this is like, at the time when evolution would happen, you happen to be near a grassy rock.
No.
That's like, no?
Well, it's, to be fair, it's a little hard for them to, I don't know why I just said like, no, stop talking, and made you stop talking. That was rude. But, they can't really make a mechanic out of like, you are raised by the moss rock. It's not like you have to get 5 levels by the moss rock.
Well, I mean, there would be ways to do this. You could be like, hey, you get Leafeon when you evolve an Eevee in a party that has multiple grass Pokemon in it, or like, after, you know, like, get using a bunch of grass type moves or something. There are ways you could do this rather than just like, I mean, like, my Eevee got like randomly evolved while I was in McDonald's, so now it's Ronald McDonaldion. Like, come on, are we here to fucking, I started a sentence with authority and I don't know where I was going, but like, I don't approve.
You don't approve of the location based evolutions?
Yeah, it just seems really, it seems like defining someone's entire life by a snapshot of them. It's Flanderization.
I totally get that. I definitely think they could fix the mechanic of how you do it, but if you're in universe, what it's supposed to be is like, Eevee was raised from a very young age around trees and grass and photosynthesis, and they adapted to that environment. That's why we talk about Eevee as the definition of potential. It's the definition of how evolution actually works in the real world. Mm-hmm. You know, you're around something or you find a need for something and you develop around that. So like Leafeon, when surrounded by forest, is how you get Leafeon. And then Glaceon is like, when it's cold enough, you develop, you know, you're able to lower your body temperature and what you require, and you become a lot more sleek and kind of icy. And that's how you get Glaceon. The Pokemon adapts to the environment. But I do agree that like, when you're level 14, you're an Eevee, and then if you just hit level 15 next to a rock, then you're now Leafeon. And it's like, wait, why? What is... Because I stood next to it? It's a weird... Like, to, again, shamelessly plug myself, an article I put up that y'all put up for me recently on Scanline Media, Planes, Trains, and Running Shoes, check it out, posits that one of the coolest things about Pokemon is that they use the portable landscape to do, like, microcosms of stories, of settings, of narratives, that kind of thing. So, you know, putting it next to a rock is supposed to represent or be a metaphor for raising it in that environment.
But it's a bad metaphor. I mean, like,
in a game that does a lot of good metaphors, this is one of their messier ones. I agree.
It feels like saying that a blanket is a metaphor for a loving relationship. It's like, no, just have a loving relationship. Come on. You know? Like,
but isn't it that the big rock emanates a special magic?
I mean, yes, also. It's the moss rock.
It's like a big magic rock.
Do they ever really get into what it is? It's just a...
I'm looking at it's... No, it's just a rock with moss on it. There's no...
But
like,
it's the biggest one.
There's no indication
Check out this huge rock I found.
It's gigantic.
It's a big rock.
And then the
big rock.
Bulbapedia page for the ice rock is just May and her Glaceon touching the ice rock and suddenly
becoming Glaceon. Look at the moss rock in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. It's not even a big rock.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's just a rock.
Yep. It's like a rocky...
It becomes a bit... They retcon it to be a big rock later on, but in Sinnoh, it's just a fucking normal-ass rock.
It's one tile big. It's microcosm. It's it's symbolic. Everything in Pokemon... Those trees next to you, because that's in Eterna Forest. We both have been there recently in our playthroughs. It's not... They're not going to show the whole rock. They didn't have the technology
to... But you can't... You can't, like... I mean, they're... Those trees are a demonstration of the fact that they have a concept of larger and smaller sprites.
Those trees are pretty big.
Also, those trees are supposed to represent that there's a lot of trees. There aren't 30 trees in Eterna Forest. There's 3,000 trees.
But, like, okay, look at that rock.
I'm looking at it.
through color, through silhouette, through size, there is nothing to indicate that it is a special rock.
It is the same sprite as Rock Smash Rocks.
There is nothing to suggest that it has any kind of majesty, of any kind of power.
Sure. Sure. But, go back to Gen 1. Roll it back to Gen 1, where they had so few sprites that, like, Mewtwo looked the same as Kangaskhan in your Pokemon menu. It's the same idea. There's a limited number of sprites you can put in the game.
Is the Nintendo DS, I expect
buddy,
more.
You're arguing that they couldn't have put a big rock.
They couldn't.
There's also that.
And they eventually did. They understood that we need a bigger rock, and in every future iteration of the Moss Rock, it got huge.
But, buddy, we're both playing this generation of Pokemon right now. There are bigger rocks in that game.
Yeah. I'm not trying to fight on this. I mean, this is also a matter of, like, you didn't think that the Quorum was going to talk about the evolutions, and yet here we are 13 minutes into the recording.
Like, we're not going to cut.
No.
Like, don't be absurd. But I do think we say change the evolution method.
Yeah, you want to change the fiction of it.
To what?
Yeah, I just think, I mean... I like the idea of it doing that based on, like, I mean, the problem is I'm a huge pain in the ass, and I'd be like, okay, let me develop a system with variables, and you get points based on various actions, like fighting with other grass Pokemon, that's worth some points, fighting in a grassy area, that's point, use a grass move, that's points, getting hit by grass moves, that's points, and once you hit a certain amount, you know, I would make it a nightmare.
There's also already a Leaf Stone.
I forgot! There's a fucking Leaf Stone!
They already have it.
What the hell?
This is my problem with Gen 4, is instead of just using the stuff they had, they're like, no, we need a new version of everything, because it's the new console. And it's like, no, just use the Leaf Stone, it's right there. But there's no Ice Stone. So how do you
Leaf Stone? Never heard of it. Check out this Moss Rock.
It's really big and valuable.
Ugh.
Do you like Glaceon's hair? Do you like Glaceon's weird, like, pigtails?
I love Glaceon. I think Glaceon might be my fave.
I think Glaceon's cute. I think Glaceon looks really good.
I just noticed that Glaceon has bangs. That's huge points in their favor.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love the bangs.
Uh-huh. It's hot girl summer.
I'm going to... It's cold girl winter.
Cold girl summer. Cold girl winter.
I think I'll say, yeah, Glaceon is my favorite evolution. Try to dethrone it. I'm just saying it, full stop.
That's a lot. I understand. I'm not judging you, but, I mean, Sylveon's right there.
Umbreon! Umbreon is so cool!
Umbreon used to be my fave. Yeah.
Mine too. No, Espeon was my fave, and then Sylveon came around and stole
I grew out of Umbreon the same time I grew out of libertarianism, I would say.
What?
And then you get Penn and Teller.
Wait.
Yeah.
What do you mean you grew out of libertarianism?
I've trodden this ground many times.
Ron
in my
Paul,
podcast career.
2020.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or I'll eat marsh. I'm falling apart. This bit is falling apart. Oh no! I'm scrambling for the edge.
Talked about what the libertarian evolution would be like? I feel like the one that's missing.
Wait, is libertarian a type?
It should be. It's in the new one. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot
of. Yes, because there's so many libertarians
in Scotland. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, that would. If Scottish was a type, I would be extremely.
That would be very fun. That would be really very fun. Have you all talked about, like, if. When you talk about the evolutions, like one that you wish they did? I'm sure you've talked about this, right?
Well, the thing is, I don't remember how long ago this was, but. I saw on Twitter there was no design to go along with it, but fighting type with the name Champion.
Oh my god.
Which is so good.
Good night.
It's so good.
It's pretty good.
God, I'm looking, I just Googled image searched libertarian and I'm so mad.
Yeah,
hedgehogs, y'all. So right, the libertarian Pokemon would have to be one that you can't touch. It's like a hedgehoggy Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sonic the Hedgehog a libertarian?
Yeah, because he doesn't believe in speed limits, right?
Whoa.
I thought he was a socialist.
You want him to be a socialist.
No, he's not, he clings so desperately to his rings. It's like a bad thing when you spread
Well, he doesn't, like, if you, like, all it takes is a little shove and he'll drop all of them.
Okay. I guess two different readings.
I love my friends.
Also,
my
he's podcast. Clearly an environmentalist because he spends most of his time rescuing birds.
That's true.
Yeah, and he doesn't wear pants.
I mean, I don't.
We all know that the pants industry really contributes to emissions.
Of the evolutions that currently exist, Flareon would be the closest to a libertarian because you can't touch it. It wants to be on its own. But
what about Jolteon? It's sharp as heck.
Oh, poke. Ow. Ooh, ouchie. But you can touch Jolteon. It's not going to hurt you to touch it.
It looks like it does.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give it up.
Yeah.
Well, we have to talk about actual Pokemon now that we have to like truly debate.
Oh, by the way, we're changing the evolution method for Glaceon too, right?
Sure. Same premise. Same. Cool. Like, apply all earlier conversation to Glaceon. Yeah.
The hair does look fantastic.
Glacia or Leafia. I kind of like that better than Glaceon, Leafeon. The Japanese names.
But then you couldn't get Champia. That sucks.
Oh, I guess. Nah, it might work out depending on how they stylize it. I have a friend who just recently got into our podcast. Shout outs to my friend who really likes that I talk about the Japanese names. So nice. I'm fighting the good fight. But they don't like that we talk about the shinies, which is like, what do you... Come on.
I mean, we only talk about it as like a tiebreaker usually.
Yes. You basically just linearly scroll down the Ballopedia page. And if you haven't answered by the top, then... You keep scrolling down until you get to the like name origin. So,
speaking of scrolling from the top,
number 472, the ground flying type Fang Scorpion Pokemon Gliscor. Gliscor.
I would say Gliscor.
Gliscor sounds good. Yeah.
Algor.
Gliscor.
Oh, glide and scorpion, so it's Gliscor. Yeah.
Oh shit! I just said that. Okay, great.
Gliscor.
So,
it's not fun
prior to Gen 6, because of character limits, so this is the Fang Scorpion Pokemon. It was the Fang Scorp Pokemon.
Fang Scorp. That's my Xbox Live username.
I thought it was a weird company. Welcome to Fang Scorp.
they built robots early on. Yep, they definitely did. So Gliscor is the evolved form of Gligar, who we love Gligar. You don't get better than a bat that sticks its tongue out all the
time.
You
like Gligar? You kept Gligar?
Of course, man. He keeps his tongue stuck out. I love it. He's so cute.
Okay.
If you give Gligar a razor fang and you show him here's a sharp toy, he plays with it and plays with it until he becomes a sharp boy.
You did, actually.
And that's how you become Gliscor. It's very pointy. I think it's a little. It borders on over-designed with the like weird red exoskeleton, and then the carapace, like the gray-silver carapace.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of gets into more like the adult vampire look that Gligar is kind of aspiring to be. I think. Six, what do you think about Gliscor?
I'm trying to make up my mind here. I mean, I like the sort of the glide cape. Like it does. It is a full-on like Dracula cape now, which I certainly approve of.
Yeah.
Right. But I feel like it's not leaning into that enough with its like Pokédex entries and stuff.
Uh huh. Oh, it inverts. I don't know if there's something kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if there was something about like how it prefers like it sucks blood or you know or like I mean it does suck blood obviously right.
Of course.
It's elongated fangs.
Do
the rest.
What else is it going to do?
But what if it just carried around like a goblet and like bit you and then let it leak into the goblet?
Bleh!
I only like Gliscor really if it has a like Tim Curry-esque vibe
the worst
to it. Just like over the top, spooky in a very campy way. That makes me like Gliscor. Otherwise I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah. Y'all have both seen that video, right? If Tim Curry in The Worst Witch.
Tim Scorpion?
I don't know. I've seen his Halloween song. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, anything can happen on Halloween. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want that video to be full of Gliscors.
Where his cloak is like CG and then they have like an image of bats in the cloak. Yeah. Or green skin rather, not CG. What's it got for... Speaking of checking out shinies, what has it got? It's got in 2D a nice... electric blue and yellow, and then in 3D it just kind of gets like a pale blue. I hate how flat the colors on the 3D models are. Can I say that?
Yeah, they tend to dull things out in a way that I don't appreciate. Though I do still think the shiny looks good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like Shinx in 3D shiny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess I lean towards cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like there's not quite enough here. I mean, like, there's a cool concept, but, like, the Pokedex doesn't give us anything to work with, and it just doesn't seem like there's quite enough there to me.
It's just another Gligar that they kind of fiddled with a little bit, right?
Like, that's all
not,
of the...
It's not different enough.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're... Yeah, I think so. I think the typing is interesting because despite getting more Scorpion than Gligar, it's no longer poison type. It's ground flying. So... Mm-hmm. That's a cool typing, but its design doesn't lean too much into ground other than it obviously being a Scorpion, and its Pokedex entries suggest more that it's like a bat. And we have Zubat. Did we keep Zubat? I think we kept Zubat.
Of course. Yeah, we kept Zubat.
So we have that. That's taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we have Scorpions, I think. I know we got rid of Skorupi, but we have Scorpions somewhere.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we can cut this friend.
I feel okay about that. That same friend... who really likes that I talk about the Japanese names. Gliscor, by the way, being Glion, really wanted to vouch for number 473, Mamoswine, or Mamu. Hey, guys, it's me, Mamu.
Is that so?
Yeah, but there's, like, nothing going on here, right, folks?
Yeah, this one's just kind of boring.
It's got blue eyes and no mouth. That's cool.
If you teach Piloswine ancient power, it goes back in time and becomes Mamoswine.
Is this a fossil Pokemon?
Not literally.
Because they're talking about how, like, they're all dead.
Oh, really?
The Pokedex is just like, they're all gone, frozen in ice. I guess they're just saying population thinned a lot. I guess they don't say disappeared.
Yeah,
but
it's definitely very endangered.
What if you looked up a Wikipedia entry for Pokemon and they were just like, biology, there aren't very many of these. And you're like, that's not... Tell me something about the creature? The fact that there aren't very many isn't like...
That's not the fun fact.
Yeah.
Also, its tusks are made of ice, which is not reflected in the design, but would have been really cool if it was.
Yeah, if it was, that would have been something.
It's shiny's bad. This might be a rough one.
Yeah, I think this friend's got to go. Wow, I just saw the shiny. This is awful.
Yeah,
get rid of
good.
It.
It's all green and yucky. Like, the only redeeming feature of it visually is, like, the little bandit mask and the piggy nose. But they've done plenty of, like, cute masks. Is this Ultimate Fangy, by the way?
No. It's Fangy. Will Fangy have an inverse proportional relationship to effectiveness? So like a bigger Fangy is less effective,
right? Gliscor, we didn't even mention having a Fangy because that's just fangs, that's not Fangy.
Mm-hmm. Right, its mouth is open, so that's not Fangy. Mouth has to be closed for it to be Fangy. Well, I guess that's technically over Fangy, but you know, listen,
we're not,
don't, yeah, but anyway, you remember how Munchlax the Pokedex was like hides food in its under its fur?
I never forget.
The Mamoswine shiny is what happens if it forgets.
Aww.
Cut this Pokemon.
It's so yucky. That's like the Pukey shiny. How big is it? I feel like it's probably huge, right? 8'2", 642 pounds. Sure.
That's pretty big, yeah.
You could ride it.
What about Porygon Zed?
Like, no, right? Like, no?
Well, I mean, wait, what's the Japanese?
Porygon Z. Porygon Z, or as the Japanese say, Porygon Z.
I mean, okay, so we have yet to keep a Porygon.
That's the thing, right? We haven't kept a Porygon or... did we keep Porygon?
I don't think we... Let me
double check the list.
I don't think we kept Porygon.
Oh, heavens. We gotta keep something, bud. We gotta keep something.
Yeah, we have cut both Porygons.
Porygon Z has never even been in the... So this is the other fascinating thing about Porygon, is it's kind of at an inherent disadvantage because they don't put Porygon or its evolutions in the anime because they didn't put original because of the infamously banned episode. Because
the electric Porygon soldier, yeah.
Yep. So, like, Porygon Z's only anime appearance was in the opening of the Kyurem versus the Sword of Justice movie, where they just showed, like, all the Pokemon from the first five generations. And it probably won't ever get a chance, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad, you know. Okay, its Pokedex entries are actually kind of good.
Tell me about them.
Its programming was modified to enable work in alien dimensions.
Oh,
it did not work.
Oh.
Seems there might have been an error, it says here. So basically, it was like, ooh, we're going to patch it to be a fourth dimension. No. Oh, nope. God, it's glitching.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, now it's a weird balloon. Oh, it's like three balloons. It did not work as planned. It began acting oddly. Additional software was installed to make it a better Pokemon. It began acting oddly, however.
Its behavior is noticeably unstable, which is apparently due to the incompetence of the engineer who updated its programming.
Oh, my God. They had a lazy intern. I want to be.
Wow, can't believe you'd call out Iwata like this.
How do you get Porygon Z? Oh, you give Porygon 2 a dubious disc. Oh my God, that's the disc. That's the patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, time to trade it through dimension, because as we discussed, trade evolutions are dimensional travel. So you send it through the dimension with the dubious disc, thinking that it'll patch to be a perfect Pokemon, and then oops, it kind of glitched.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that aesthetic that people really like, that's like kind of glitchy, but it's like glitch aesthetic?
Glitch punk.
No, it is a music genre. Have you seen that video of Alex Trebek?
Cyberspark.
Have you seen that video of Alex Trebek saying genre on every single time he ever said it on Jeopardy? It's very good. He has perfect French pronunciation.
Is that sarcasm?
No, he really does. Like, he says it perfectly. He's been saying it perfectly for 40 years. So I kind of like vaporwave is the word I was thinking of. Porygon Z is a little bit vaporwave, where it's kind of like, what happens if you effed up Porygon 2, like if it glitched?
Yep,
I dig that.
So we didn't keep Porygon or Porygon 2.
Yep,
and we were right because they're dumb.
Yep.
Can we have, like, here's a glitched version of a Pokemon we didn't keep?
Yes. Why not?
Because that's nothing.
It just exists in it exists in our world. And then its new Pokedex entry is, like, scientists have spent years trying to figure out what it was trying to be and have never figured it out.
I feel like I want... Okay. Okay. I've got it. Sure. We kept missing, though.
Yep. We did.
I just want these Pokedex entries attached to missing, though.
Ooh, like failed attempt to...
Yeah, they were just trying to create this alien dimension Pokemon, and they were like, oh boy, this did not work.
I dig it. To break them all down, we talked about Porygon as this sort of face forward, we're thinking about 3D modeling, we're thinking about polygons, the future is here. And then Porygon 2 is like, we figured out vectors. We're beyond just like trying to make things 3D. Now we're trying to improve them. We're trying to approach perfection. And then Porygon Z is the acknowledgement that, like, we didn't stop to think if we could, if we should. We did it because we could, but we didn't stop to think if we should. And here's what we
got. But it's weird because it's like, I don't know, like. If you look at them in terms of, like, what they represent technologically,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Porygon's the N64.
Yep.
Or late SNES.
Yep.
Porygon 2's the GameCube.
Yeah.
Smoothie Porygon Z isn't anything.
No, Porygon Z's the Wii U.
It's not, though.
And Porygon Z is like, we tried. We thought we could move it forward. We thought we did it. We put a screen on it.
I just if they had leaned into that idea of like if it was a Pokemon about chasing technological trends,
mm-hmm.
If there was some weird Pokedex entry about, like, the way you command it is by motion controls built into the Pokeball, that'd be like, okay, that's, you know, there's something here. Or, you know, I don't know, but, like, there isn't anything here.
You want to get some trivia about Porygon Z?
Sure.
Porygon Z weighs exactly as much as Dawn. It shares this similarity with Weavile and Alolan Marowak. That's such a weird bit of trivia. The dubious discs...
Like,
yeah.
Dawn the trainer?
Yes. Dawn from...
Whoever did that math needs to go to jail.
Yep, immediately. I mean, someone put the weight of Dawn somewhere. The dubious disc implies that it was not authorized by Silph.co. PokéPark Wii incorrectly genders Porygon Z as a he, even though Porygon is absolutely genderless. It is the only one of the Porygon line that can't do the conversion attack, which is like the signature move of the Porygon line. And
well,
weirdly,
it can do them, it just doesn't have a new one.
Yes. And weirdly, Porygon Z is tied with Drampa and Mega Pidgeot for the highest base special attack stat of all normal types. So it has a lot of special attack. But then it's like, it's special like normal type. And like, what are the normal attacks? Try attack, Hyper Beam, Tackle... Like, that's what its stab moves are. I'm so glad we've had this conversation. If we're cutting Porygon Z, I'm going to allow it, but I just wanted to give it its shout out as the last desperate gasp for that them or their attempts to make a Porygon. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. The digital type.
Ooh. And as we all know, any creature whose foundation is in the digital world is a bad design.
Oh my god, Porygon Z is a Digimon. You've done this to me again. I hate. Fine. I'll allow it. Just because I want to talk about my new favorite Pokemon.
Let's talk about Gallade.
Oh, are you kidding me? You got... That's such a keeper. That's such a keeper. Actually? Uh-oh.
It's the Blade Pokemon.
Eruredo. Which means... Earl... Elbow. Love the Japanese names a lot.
Oh, that is pretty prime.
Or like Elbow Blade, Earl Elbow Blade, you know?
Yeah.
They nailed it.
My name is Earl Elbow Blade.
Yep.
I love that show. That's a good one.
Psychic and Fighting, good typing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them leaning into this being the masculine equivalent of Gardevoir. It's fine. Like, because, like, it's just the problem is that, you know, Gardevoir is what, pure psychic?
Psychic fairy.
Okay. Oh, they retroactively did that one. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is fairy feminine and then fighting is masculine? Because that's silly.
Right. The thing that's problematic about Gallade is that they took an evolutionary line that was not gendered.
Right.
And then gendered it. It was,
why don't we just say that you don't do that?
Just don't.
Just on principle.
Well, we can change
also,
the
list. It's, right, we can change the future.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your destiny, Tokyo. Mm. We can just, you know, we do whatever we want. They even have different evolution methods. There's the Dawnstone and shit. Like, we don't have to do anything. We just have to get rid of the fucking gender thing because it's pointless.
What if we just flip the gender thing?
But, like, gender... Wynn has a gender thing, but... Okay.
All right.
Setting aside the Nidoran line...
Yeah.
Wynn has the gender thing in Pokemon been an additive experience?
Never. Yeah.
This is just fuck it, right?
You're saying let's eliminate all gender in the Pokemon world?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that.
I'm totally... I'm saying Nidoran female... has a 50% chance to be male or female in our universe. I'm saying you can have a male Nidoqueen.
Oh my god. You did it. Right, this is beautiful. We killed gender. We finally did it.
But we're keeping the gender... We're maintaining the gender binary, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, I don't have time to write up a game design document.
Yeah.
But there would be room for other elements of the spectrum in my world.
And there can exist masculinity and femininity in a world that doesn't adhere to gender binary. Very hyper-fem Gallade. And you can, as we talked about, some people think that Gardevoir is supposed to be a knight in armor, which nonsense, but they're like, no, that's why you can have male Gardevoir instead of accepting that men can wear dresses. Or that Gallade can be a woman because girls can wear, can wield swords and should at all costs, at all opportunities. Girlswithswords.tumblr.com. Bring it back.
Now, there's no way we're cutting Mega Gallade, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That whips.
I would defend Mega Gallade with my life. I would love to be cut down by a Mega Gallade once and for all.
Okay, yeah, Mega Gallade's pretty sick.
Yep. Yep.
All right, well, that was quick and painless. Let's talk about... It turns out our easiest fight of the night is destroying gender. Anyway, Probopass.
So, I need to ask you, Six. Magellan and I have come to this podcast with an objective, and it's that we absolutely...
I know what it is.
We're going to keep Probopass at all costs. This is my only beg of this week. It's dumb. Its Japanese name is Dinose.
Which means big nose?
Which means large nose, exactly.
It's
shiny, is like the coloring is super wonky, but I like it. Probopass is a combination of proboscis and compass. So like nose compass.
Okay, sure.
And it looks like Tony Shalhoub. And do you have any questions?
What happened to nose pass with y'all?
I think you were here for nose pass.
I do too, but I cannot remember.
We kept nose pass. Okay. We kept nose pass.
Okay, cool.
Okay, here. Listen, I'm going to surprise y'all here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want multiple forms.
Oh.
What?
I want Probopass to have different shaped mustaches based on whether you're north, south, or at the hemisphere, or at the equator.
That's baller.
Because it's reacting to magnet stuff.
Yeah,
that's Probopass.
Oh, that's perfect. Wow.
Because Nosepass can't do that. Nosepass doesn't have facial hair.
Because that's the thing, is they're doing that drawn magnet mustache thing, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
That's the goof they're going for. And it's like, okay, then lean into it. And I'm here. I'll take it.
Another weird example where maybe Probopass shouldn't. You can't. Don't take Probopass to your house because magnetic objects nearby become unusable. Oops.
Watch out for your credit card.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I slid a Probopass against my hard drive, and now I don't have a computer anymore. Here's a fascinating bit of trivia from the Moon Pokedex. The main body of Probopass controls three mobile units called mini-noses, which it maneuvers to catch prey.
Mm-mm. Can we just cut those off? I don't like those.
Oh, those are the hands.
No. Okay. This isn't going to work for Magellan.
Okay.
But... Alan.
Yeah.
You got a Probopass, right?
Uh-huh, I do.
It's in a fight.
Yeah.
It's in a fight, and the noses detach, and the trainer says, go, funnels!
Oh my god! Yes! Yes! I want it!
Is that some kind of a Gundam thing?
That's like, yes, it is. Yeah.
Good job, yes, glad exactly.
That's nice,
thank you.
The Saikomu mini noses. You did it. You sold me on a Pokemon that I was gonna have to sell you on. Thanks. This worked out really great. Yeah, I did not think about it.
The best interaction the two of you have ever had.
Show. we met over Gundam and we'll die over Gundam. I didn't notice that the hands and the thing in the back are the mini noses. That's actually really cool. It has these like little minions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe those can someday grow into nose passes.
They can fly off and shoot lasers.
I love the origin section here. Probopass is based on the Pukau wearing Moai statues of Easter Island, just like Nosepass was. It is also a reference to compass magnets with iron filings on them. So, iron filing, Easter Island statue. Oh, and the mini noses point in the cardinal directions. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that's really good.
That's pretty good.
They did a post-gen evolution that we really dig, and I'm so proud of them for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then I guess it's time to talk about... Great.
Wait, what? You don't like Dusk Noir?
No, I don't. I don't.
Do you want to know what its Japanese name is?
Yes.
Yo, Noir! Yo, Noir! What's good? How you doing? How you being? Bless you.
Is that like yo, like... Yoru, like night?
Yeah, or Yoma, which is ghost.
Oh, sure. Sure. Okay.
And okay, so I don't like Dusk Noir. I think it looks dumb and ugly. And this is coming from someone who loves Duskull and also loves Dusclops and is upset that you cut Dusclops.
Have you seen those hands? Big hands. I know you're the one.
I know. We've had the big hands conversation before.
Yeah, numerous times. Yeah.
I think there's enough great big hands going on in your decks right now. Mm-hmm. Like Dusk Noir doesn't really have anything to offer. I don't even understand what the design is. What's the riff that we're doing here?
Okay, so first off, it's like a jack-o'-lantern like face on its stomach.
Yeah.
And then it's got a I don't know. It's bad.
It just is not a unified idea that we're looking at.
No,
right here.
You're right. There's a lack of cohesion here.
The thing is,
there's right. Like we need a big ghost.
Well, so that the origin page basically or section usually answers what you're asking, which is like, what is it based on? What is it riffing on? But the origin page here is like, it's kind of like three different Japanese myths, kind of like they're all different yokai. Because there's the Chochin Obake, which is like the paper lantern ghost, which I guess from the head. And then there's the Yamato, which is like the monster, the mountain monster with the weird single eye. And it's like, is it both? And also a cyclops? Like,
if it was a yokai just and it had a watch, then I'd be here for it.
Six. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
Also, it's a trade evolution. I'm getting kind of bored of this now.
Mm. Yeah.
So you got to give it the Reaper cloth.
Yeah, I'm with Magellan here. I think we cut it.
Yeah, you don't need it. There's so many great ghosts.
There really are. I'm almost actually done with Pokemon Masters, the new mobile game, and there's actually pretty good ghost representation in that game. Like, there's what's her face with the thing, you know?
Yeah.
She has a Dusclops.
Is it? Oh, I was gonna say Chantal with the chandelier, but I don't
have Chantal with the chandelier yet, but. I do have...
She's great.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on literally the last chapter. We'll talk later. Yeah, no. Dusk Noir, you gotta go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you really gotta go.
Let's hit up that Frostlass.
That Frostlass? We made ourselves a promise many moons ago. which was that we don't like Glalie. Glalie is like literally bottom 10 designs of all Pokemon time.
Yeah, Glalie sucks.
Is terrible.
Snorunt is very cute.
Yes, so we're like, Snorunt needs an evolution. Eventually, it takes that coat off and it grows up. So, is Frostlass the evolution that we're looking for? Yuki Minoko. You want to guess what that means? Six.
I mean, snow.
Good.
And then Minoko.
Yes, you know what Minoko means?
Nope.
Girl.
so it's a play on Yuki Onna. Okay, sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Or the
kanji. I mean, she's wearing like a kimono.
Yes,
so,
the
like,
kanji, you know. Also is a corruption of kimono. So you nailed it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
It's a girl wearing a kimono in an ice world.
Uh-huh.
I wish it was easier to see the Snorunt in Frostlass.
That's a good point.
You know, like Glalie, same thing. Glalie's way worse. You look at a Snorunt and a Glalie and you're like, how? What is the connection? And Frostlass looks like it's like they made a better Glalie, but they didn't really make it look like it was evolved from Snorunt.
Okay, here are two changes we should make.
Okay.
Okay.
One, that purple should be black like Snorunt.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Two, give it the tiny little beady blue eyes.
Yeah.
I don't think it would necessarily look as good, but it would look like the same evolutionary.
Yeah, I just want
line,
I want
this
the, maybe the sash to look more like Snorunt's hat or whatever. It's like parka thing that it wears.
Yeah, I mean that one. I feel like if you're given the thing they're doing, I mean, like you don't have like straw colored Obi. That's not really a thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of its own thing. It kind of evolved. Well, the only I'm just really struggling to like figure out what connects them, and it's that like Snorunt is wearing a jacket, and Frostlass is wearing a kimono. Like, they're both covering up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what is it about Frostlass that makes them ghost type? Let's read their Pokedex entries.
I mean, it's just based on the mythology that they are. It's the Yukiona.
That's a thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. A female ice spirit. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm into Frost. I think we should keep Frostlass. I don't know if it makes sense that Frostlass is an evolution of Snorunt.
Yeah, maybe they should stand alone.
I think so.
When it finds humans or Pokemon it likes, it freezes them and takes them to its chilly den where they become decorations.
Okay.
Oh, oofa.
Okay, sure. That's spooky.
If it's said that on nights of terrible blizzards, it comes down to human settlements. If you hear it knocking at your door, do not open it.
It's kind of cool piece of trivia that I just found from my very elementary knowledge of Korean. Its Korean name is Nunyoa, which means eyes open.
Ooh. Ooh.
Little spooky.
Oh, okay.
Little bit like different scary. Kind of spooky. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think separate Pokemon.
Yeah.
Snorunt doesn't evolve. The other thing is that's goofy is Snorunt will always evolve in their universe, not in ours. Will always evolve into Glalie at level 42. The only way for it to be Frostlass is if it's female and gets exposed to a Dawnstone, which like again, why? Who why?
I mean, talk about a glass ceiling. Well, it feels ceiling, like huh?
Yeah.
A little bit. Exactly. Ice ceiling. It's an ice ceiling, Magellan.
Also, we're getting rid of the gender thing, right?
Yes. So yeah, then it would just be Dawnstone.
Yeah, gender is just permanently dead. Or permanently okay. Equal.
Okay, I'll make a note every time.
But which is good. Don't bring it up anymore. Because I think the rest of this generation's Pokemon are all genderless. I think. Nope. I think I'm right.
Ha ha! Rotom!
Wow.
Roddy. Rotom Dangerfield.
Hey everybody, it's Rotom.
Rotom. In Japanese, Rotom. Rotom's so cool.
I have complicated feelings about Rotom.
Don't you? You've told me that you had a story or something, or do you have like a personal history with Rotom?
Oh no. I just don't, I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
I think okay.
One of the longest Bulbapedia pages, by the way. There's a lot going on with Rotom.
So there are a lot of Rotom. Sure. There are a lot of Rotom forms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them be mad stupid, yo.
Okay, yeah, tell it like it is.
Break them down, roast them.
Drag Mo them. Rotom. Come on,
that's Rotom.
And then here's the other thing. It also has kind of become their catch-all for like we need a thing, but we need it to feel like Pokemon because we had the Rotom Dex,
mm-hmm.
and now in Sword and Shield we're getting the Rotom phone because they're like, no, we need to give you a phone, but it needs to be a Pokemon phone, so there's a Rotom in it.
But don't you prefer that to having, like, the washing machine Pokemon? It's like, no, Rotom possessed an actual washing machine. That's cooler than we made a thing with legs that washes your clothes.
Do you know what's cooler than either of those? Not having a washing machine Pokemon.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like,
they've handled Rotom, especially, like, Gen 7 onward, is very goofy.
And I guess, like, if that was sort of, like, if that was the thing from the outset, if when Rotom had first shown up, it had been the Rotom Dex, and it was sort of established that Rotom was just, like, this is the helpful Pokemon spirit that inhabits cool technology.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nah, man, they put it in an oven. Not even a regular oven, it was a microwave. It just feels like there's there's a real quantity over quality issue.
I agree.
Here.
And they just keep adding more.
Mm-hmm.
There's cool stuff about base Rotom, though, like how its design is based on the old Genesis video game Pulse Man. Fun fact. It's like a Japanese-only side-scroller called Pulse Man.
That's cool.
Are you sure it's not based on Electroplankton?
I wish it was based on Electroplankton, to be honest with you. All of its designs are a little goofy. It's kind of... It's a friend.
I like it, you guys.
Yeah, we're keeping Rotom. I'm not saying we're not, certainly.
We're cutting some forms, though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I like the washing machine form.
Can we get rid of the fridge?
No, keep them all. I mean, come on. Like, there's not a good way to do a tech Pokemon. There's not a good way to do it. And
I also am biased because of the fact that in Gen 4, when you the first, like, Rotom now is like, it's like a new mascot, sort of, where it's in everything. The Pokedex is written from its point of view and voice and all that shit. Mm-hmm. But when you meet it in Gen 4, it's like you go to the old chateau, which is an old abandoned ass house, and things just start moving and like flipping around the room. And you're like, what the fart is that? Why is that table going around? And it turns out it's just a playful trickster demon trying to scare you.
I think it's a really cool take on a ghost. Like, it's a ghost that possesses stuff instead of people.
It would never possess a person, I hope.
What if you threw a Pokeball at it, and instead it just possessed the Pokeball?
Oh, wow. Shit. And it's like, nope, F you. Take that.
It's like, you just had a Pokeball that just had a big, like, dopey grin on it and eyes. And you're like, ah!
I like it. It's shiny's red. All of its shinies are red. I'm going to say keep Rotom. And in terms of which forms I like the most, Fan Rotom's kind of silly and fun. Heat Rotom is a little, it's fine. Because it's got, like, the little, like, the oven mitts. Standard Rotom's awesome. Go ahead.
I would say, obviously, we keep Standard. I would say keep Fan, Wash, and Mo. I know what I said about Mo, but you look at that face. Clearly, Rotom's just having such a good time that
really
I can't take that away
up.
From. I can't take that away.
He's going to chop it up with you. Yeah, I don't. I'm not like in love with Frost. Heat, just because it has oven mitts, is good. Other than that, nah.
Are we only cutting Frost?
Yeah, it's kind of boring, I guess. If we have okay. to cut one, it's a little boring. Is it the okay. size of the fridge? This is what is kind of bugs me about Rotom. Is it actually the size of a washing machine, or is it like a little tiny washing machine?
Good. Well, if you look at the GIFs on the page, it is similar in size, but slightly more compact in some cases.
That's kind of, I don't know about that.
Well, because it's taking, it's possessing the object. It's not like it's just, it's not like a Ditto. It's not turning into the thing. It is taking over the thing.
Yeah, I think exactly. In this universe, like, if you were going into, like I said, the old chateau or an abandoned house, and you saw the fridge, it wouldn't look like Rotom unless it wanted you to see it like that. It would look like a fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think seeing it here as, like, the forms is, like, a visual cue for gamers.
Gamers.
I'm canceled. For the player to sort of be like, hey, it's, you know, it's Rotom. Because, you know, they couldn't just be like, here's a Maytag.
Yeah. Right.
Go, Samsung.
Oh, man, they're totally, yeah. I'm so excited for Gen 8. I want more Rotom. I want more weird ghosts. That's the thing I want the most out of Gen 8 is more. Like, we got the teacup. We can't talk about Gen 8 that much right now, but there's a teacup ghost. Are you kidding me? Ugh.
I'm here for the teacup ghost.
I'm here for it, too. So, I'm going to move on. I think keep Rotom. I think, yeah, drop Frost to keep the rest. Maybe drop Heat. Do we care about Heat other than me?
We can keep Heat. No. I think Magellan feels pretty strongly about all the forms, so I think cutting one is probably all I'm going to get away with.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody remember the first episode of the Mega Man Battle Network show, Mega Man NT Warrior, where...
No, literally no one does.
Okay.
Sorry, that was super mean.
May I describe it?
Yes, please. I would love it if you did.
Lan is introducing us to a world where everything is connected to the internet, and then what we find out is he goes, even the oven is connected to the internet. Oh no, the oven has a virus. It's going to light the house on fire. And he plugs Megaman.exe into the oven and, like, saves his house from burning down by fighting the guts man that's inside of his oven. And that's also the first arc of the games, but I remember it from the anime.
Do you think Rotom would win or lose to guts man?
I think in Mo form, it would just eat guts man. And that would be the short and long of it.
No. Guts Rotom.
Guts Rotom. It's just punch Rotom. Sure.
Oh boy. Yeah, just let Rotom loose into the Mega Man series and just the havoc it would cause.
Yeah. It's the secret diabolical, like, man behind the curtain of the internet viruses. If you're wondering why we're talking so much about everything but the legendaries, it's because Gen 4 has some bad legendaries.
They're, like, super uninspiring.
I'd
never felt the urge to find all of these.
These river boys?
Yeah.
You don't like Uxie, Mispirit, and Azelf?
Can we just cut all three of them now?
Uxie, Emrit, and Agnome. Yeah, so in the universe, the cool thing is you start the game and they're like, go to the Lake of Verity or whatever. And they're like, there's a spirit here, but it's not here. It'll be here eventually. And then you come back at the very end of the game and you chase all these river spirits down. But like, they're just legendaries. They're just like, they started doing this thing in Gen 4 where they're like, we need more, what are they called? Like the legendaries that run away from you all the time. Like, we don't want to keep making... We can't make, like, lore reasons for Dialga and Palkia to run around because that would break the universe. But we need, like, a quantity of something to call legendary. And I think that's the design sort of methodology behind these river spirits. They're psychic type. They're prone to fleeing. And they represent different aspects of human emotion, knowledge, and willpower. It's like, ugh, sure, sure. River spirits. It's a thing that people talk about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just the design is like they redrew. They had like, what if they never invented Mew?
Yep.
And then in Gen 4, they were like, we have to make three Mews.
The game comes out tomorrow. Yeah. It's one of those things where the lore tries to carry them because it's like, no, Azelf is literally the concept of willpower. And it's like, it's a Pokemon. Like, I understand the way that Japanese culture kind of like makes ideology and things into spirits, and those things existing is the reason that those feelings can exist. But like, their designs are so boring.
And like, even it's still too generic. Like, it is possible for the Pokédex to save this, right? Like, you took Azelf here, the being of willpower,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh no, it is the birth of willpower, and it endows people with determination. But if they had a Pokédex entry that was like, when you find yourself standing up to someone who's pushed you around, that's because Azelf has lent you some strength
there
or something. It's like, there's a story. There's something to connect to.
When you walk,
but this is just like, you know.
When you walked on the beach and you noticed that there were only two footsteps after the hardest points in your life, do you realize that was Miss Breed carrying you? So sad. So beautiful. Nope, they all suck. I don't like any of them. They are totally just like Mew Juniors. And I'm talking about the design. Again, I think I don't know. The Pokedex entries are like a little bit cool, but not cool enough to save these deeply boring designs.
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay with this mass wiping out of legendaries?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Good.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, to be legendary, you have to have legends written about you. And who's going to write legends about Azelf?
Exactly.
Whoever,
yeah. It's a Azelf. It's like someone was trying to say it's an elf, but they were drunk as hell, and they're like, it's a Azelf. But Pokemon that do have legends written about them, Dialga and Palkia, this generation's signature Pokemon. Dialga, the Pokemon of time, and Palkia, the Pokemon of space.
Yeah.
Everyone on Go, say which one of these is your favorite. 3, 2, 1...
Cut them all.
Good answer.
What did you say, six?
I said cut them all.
Yeah, oh. They're kind of ugly. They look like knockoff Yu-Gi-Oh!
They do
God cards.
I also just hate what this does to the. I mean, like, this is... this is the point where they started going to... This is how we ended up with Arceus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is Arceus this gen?
No, Gen 5. Wait, no, this gen. You're right. Gen 4. Yes.
This is the point where they were like, here's the legendary that, like, is responsible for the flow of time. If you ever, if you ever got up and, like, if you get out of the bed in the morning, you better say a prayer to Dialga, or he'll fucking make it so you never get up again. It's just like, can you fucking... Like, I don't want them to deify these Pokemon. I think that sucks.
Oh my god. Sorry, I was trying to find Arceus, and there are so many legendaries in this generation. I'm dying.
I honestly think we should do Dialga and Palkia and stop here.
Yeah?
Because there are so many legendaries, and we're going to be so tired. Like, I think honestly, it would be nice to finish all of these in one episode. Sure. I think we're not going to give them a fair shake because we're just going to be mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And these are legendaries. People, these are like people's favorites. Dialga does mm-hmm. have a really good shiny, though.
And just generally a cool looking design, honestly.
Yeah. I picked Diamond when I was a lot youngin'.
Mm hmm.
Palkia's shiny is just like someone put a pink like highlighter on it and was like, it's different now. Also, I like Water Dragon as a typing more than Steel Dragon. Steel Dragon's like, okay, yeah, I get it.
I get it. Legendary Pokemon. Yes, right.
Primal Dialga from the Mystery Dungeon games. That was a whole thing. So, like, we made new forms of these Pokemon, but they're just bigger.
And they didn't recur in any of the games that actually nope, matter?
Exactly. 17 feet tall, 1,505.8 pounds. I mean, space and time, folks. The only thing I like about Palkia is its shoulder pads.
Honestly, I think the shoulder pads look so dumb.
Oh, boy. And Dialga, oh, my God. Close your eyes. No, don't, you don't literally have to do this, but just as an exercise. I'm like, all right, we have to design legendaries. And this one is the embodiment of time. And you're like, that
okay,
is such
so
a
it's
cool
got
idea.
Like, okay, so you give it like... Okay, so I want like an hourglass pattern on its chest.
For sure, for
right?
sure.
Mm-hmm. And like there are like glowing particles that are sort of constantly circulating like an infinity sign within the hourglass. They're like, it's the flow of time, but it's an infinity in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you only get glimpses of that because it's got like this cloak over it. And then it's got a scythe because it's like Father Time.
That sounds sick. That's my favorite Led Zeppelin cover.
I just got hired to work on the new Darksiders game.
Yeah.
The bummer is that Dialga and Palkia are based on one of my favorite Japanese or like Shinto myths, Izanami and Izanagi.
They are not.
That's what
they said that. But that's not...
Well, because they have the spear pillar in Gen 4, where they, like, you hit an island with a spear and a pillar came out of it, and that's how Japan came to exist.
But that's like saying that Cyclops from the X-Men is based on the myth of the Cyclops. No, he's fucking not.
You're playing to the crowd as Magellan Cyclops fan. Golly. Yeah, it's just like, it's just that same idea. But like again, you say that, and then you say it's the time Pokemon, and you somehow come with a spiky dinosaur dragon. Like, no, fuck off. That's not what a time Pokemon should look like. Give me a clock. Give me an hourglass.
Again, like you look at all their Pokedex entries, and they're just like everything's because of these ones.
Yep.
There's no humanity to these, or
no,
like
I hate it.
Humanity is a bad choice of words. But you understand what? There's nothing to connect to.
Time flows when its heart beats.
That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, especially, we have to cut Palkia.
Yes,
Palkia,
yes.
They built Palkia, and they were like, this is a bad design, but it doesn't really have, okay, just grab the grab the neck and just start pulling. Like, saltwater taffy, yeah. Just go.
It has the ability to distort space. Like, what?
Yeah, okay. That's what they did to it.
Yeah, me too. Every time I get in the pool, hey!
My leg looks all
I'm
bent.
Swimming
I'm
swimming here.
Hey,
Spider-Man.
In the pool.
All right, more jokes. More early 2000s humor from all my friends. Here we go. Hey, Spider-Man.
Hey,
that's
Spider-Man.
My pizza.
That's my pizza. It's me, Palkia. You want to come down to the union meeting?
My wife.
I was in the pool! What is that from? Okay. Is that from Seinfeld?
Seinfeld, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now coming soon to Netflix. Great.
Ooh.
These berries are making me thirsty.
Wow.
I'm going to hell for that
you
one.
You are going to hell for that one. No.
So, okay, I could see an argument for Dialga. This is like, it's I still hate what it represents, but I do think like the aesthetics of the design are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. And time is cooler than space.
It's true.
That was my argument as a kid, and unfortunately I was right.
The thing is, I've been playing a lot of Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah.
Mm. Kerbal Time Program would fucking suck.
Oh, yeah.
It'd just be like, where in the world in Carmen Sandiego? And the answer would be she wasn't a real person.
Didn't exist. It was fiction.
Made it up.
Gotcha.
What's a better YouTube video? Is it John? What's his name? Jonathan?
Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes, Frakes telling me that I'm wrong, or is it Orson Welles' drunk champagne commercial?
I don't know. There's another Jonathan Frakes one where it's like the other parts of that.
Were you saying yes?
Yeah, something like that. He's like,
yeah, you're not. Yeah, it's true. Or something.
Yeah,
it happened.
It's fiction.
You're right.
We made it up.
That was invented by a writer. Thanks, Jonathan. I was unclear on who invented that.
Jonathan Frakes, iconic director of such films as Clock Stoppers. Never forget.
Can we put Jonathan Frakes in the Pokédex?
Yes. What are you talking
tired.
About?
Tired.
It's fiction. We made it up.
Okay, we need to come to a decision here.
Sorry. I say cut Palkia, keep Dialga, right?
Sure.
That feels easy.
Okay.
That way we
okay.
at least yeah. keep some concept in here. There's like a
and then
cool
I think
topic.
Give Dialga power over both time and space.
Space.
Well,
they did that. It's called Giratina. Spoilers.
Wait, also,
does Giratina have to have con? Is it control both, or is it just like it's evil? I haven't finished platinum. Sorry, I haven't finished platinum yet, so I don't actually know.
I don't know. But also, we have Arceus, who has power over literally everything forever.
Cut Arceus immediately. No, no, we're not. Maybe we will.
Giratina represents antimatter.
Yeah, you're right. It's on the world upside down from ours. I'm so excited to get to that part of Platinum, by that's the only reason I'm playing through Platinum, really. Is to get to the weird Giratina.
Is to get to when it's really stupid?
Yes. What? Yes.
No, I sorry, I said that like I disagreed with you. I actually totally respect that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Hell, my friend and co-host. Okay, so keep Dialga, bye Palkia, go swim in the ocean, you water dragon. Mm-hmm. And so my only question now is, how are we handling next week? Are we finishing Gen 4 and then starting Gen 5, or are we doing a short episode?
I think we have to talk off the air. I have some ideas.
Okay, I like this.
Oh my god, there's so many more.
Right, dude? Dude, I kept going like, all right, Arceus is coming, Arceus is coming. Wait.
I was like, I'm thinking to myself, no way, they could finish this. But total, no. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more things for you to talk about before the end of the Pokedex. And we just
and
talked about the Pokemon that control time and space.
Yeah, it's like linearly, oh, when you go through legendaries, it's like you go, the way that we've understood that it goes is you get like the two iconic like big ones, and then you get one like small, deeply powerful but like adorable one, and that's it. And this one's like, no, we still got like the shadows, antimatter, the water spirit, the moon spirit, the
quote unquote the original one,
god,
oh!
The Transformers one. Like, stop, please stop. The weird fire one that no one talked, whatever, we'll get to it. But yeah, so that's what we're going to call it for today.
Professor Oak's out here like, weird we didn't discover literally God until number 493.
We're very weird. We goofed that
How
one
How strange.
Up. It's also a weird... Nope, we'll talk about it when we talk about Arceus. Nope.
Welcome back. That's a good picture.
What are you doing, Pokemon Snap? Yeah. Welcome back.
Wow.
Professor Isaac Oak, I took a picture of the floor and I threw candy at it. What do I get?
Wow.
Thanks. Thanks, Professor Oak. What was his name? All Does right. he have like a name? Kenneth? Jerome?
Oh, I
Samuel. It's Samuel.
Yes. My brain I knew it was out. Sam something. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Magellan, thank you as always for being my best friend.
Yeah,
and thank you for being on our podcast.
Thanks for having me, folks. I love my chances to visit the Pokemon world. We all live in a Pokemon world, I think.
That's
me
that's
personally.
What I've heard.
Yeah, and I want to be the greatest master of them all.
Huh?
That's just my thing.
Well, you know, next week we're gonna finish up this Pokédex, and the week after that we're gonna head into a new region, and it may be a brand new place with a brand new attitude. But you've
still
gotta
catch
them
all.
Well,
Pokemon Johto.
Pokemon Johto.
When you just sort of read the lyrics of that, it's kind of grim. You still
But you do not yet have freedom.
Yeah. It's a new place with a brand new attitude. And yet that new attitude is a veneer for the same endless hell that you're always going to be trapped in.
Pokemon Johto. In case you forgot where you are.
Oh my god. Okay, sorry. I'm scrolling down the Arceus Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing all these different, like, oh, here's ghost type. And then I see one where I'm like, what? It turned into a fucking mecha? What the heck? Oh, this is an ad for Gundam.
So close to like Arceus, alas.
That would be pretty cool.
It was a really sick design I'd never seen before. I was like, damn!
Man, they got kits of that?
What if the Jesus Pokemon was the washing machine Pokemon?
What if? It'd be a much cleaner world, certainly.
If the lore was like that Rotom created the universe and then didn't respond to the responsibility and pass it off to Arceus, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking hate Arceus. Sorry. Nope. Not now.
No, this is the plug zone.
You plug it into your Rotom and then it makes it a plug Pokemon.
Magellan, when you're not mapping the world, no one's ever made that joke before.
Not once.
I think you have.
I'm pretty sure I have. What do you do on the internet and elsewhere? You know, stuffs.
Well, the main thing is people can find me along with Alan on Chats, a Television Podcast over at CHATZPOD. Wait, what am I saying? Simplecast. Wait, chatspod.simplecast.fm. That's what it is.
Uh-huh. Wherever you listen to podcasts.
Or wherever you listen to podcasts. And it's our show where we watch TV shows together. We're currently watching Babylon 5, 2 episodes a week. But we also have watched some other shows that you should check out. And we have a very fun Patreon where we do movie commentaries and pilot new shows and just kind of hang out and talk. And check it out. We are happy with what we make over there.
Yeah, it's one of the good pods.
Yeah, it's one of the five good podcasts. It's this one, that one, and then Joe Rogan's got a pretty good
one. I was going to say, don't say Joe Rogan. I literally was like, John, please don't say Joe Rogan. Please don't say Joe Rogan.
Bill Simmons really got a great one.
No!
I love that one with the guy who's mad, Bill Burr.
Who's mad is every podcast.
I think that 40% of all podcasts should be hosted by a Bill and 20% should be hosted by a Joe. That's my opinion about what makes podcasts good.
Does a Billy Joe count double?
You know, yeah, I would actually love that. Billy Joe is the musician?
Yeah, sure.
All right, great. Great, love it.
Okay, so I'm going to go next this time because I have an exciting thing that I want to promote. Since the last Jotacorum, we put up the first episode of a new show, which is Romance of the Two Networks, crossover between Scanline Media and Admiral Mapping, and we're reading Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and it fucking whips.
Magellan, if you like books, right? They're reading one of the best books.
Yeah?
And we're all funny.
Well...
Okay, I'm not funny, but...
How many Joes and Bills are on the show is my question.
There's a Jack.
Yes, son. That's good enough.
Okay. And then otherwise, at Six Detmar on Twitter, and you know the stuff pin tweet.
You gotta check out the pin tweet.
I'm gonna check it out right now.
At SIXDETTMAR.
You can check out my pin tweet, by the way, at Just a Fluke. That's JUSTAPFLUKE.
What's your pin tweet?
Well, you have to follow me to find out. Six step.
Wow.
I'm literally about to follow you and see your pin tweet.
No, I know. Just
you're just saying the podcast that you do. I understand. My pin tweet is as follows. Here, I'll tell you. Do you think there's a person out there who taste tests all the dog food because they like what dogs like? Hate to think it goes lab to dog.
Yeah, you're right. Mine is a list of podcasts. So,
yeah, clearly one of those is superior for sure.
Okay.
Have you ever had dog food?
I don't know. I think maybe a bite once.
I've had a little. It just mostly just tastes like sawdust, honestly. It's not like good, but it's not bad
either.
Savory, it's
just
kind of nothing.
Right?
No, I mean, the ones I had didn't have very much flavor at all, honestly. Some of the dog treats had more flavor. They were a little more savory.
Maybe I had a bit of a treat once. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you had wet food. I bet wet food has flavor. I've never had the wet food.
I don't think I had wet food.
Ew.
Yuck.
Yucko.
Yeah, I didn't dip my spoon in there.
No need to dirty a spoon.
Yeah, right.
Alan,
I was gonna say, do I do plugs or what's going on?
Yeah, this is like a post.
Have you ever had dog food?
Post show hangout show right now.
And y'all are getting this for free. No, I have. I think I've like thought about eating dog food and then I was embarrassed or something and I was like, no, I won't eat it. But I've definitely, I'd do it. I would jump out of a plane, as you learned from Chat's Nights, and I would also eat dog food. Those are on the same level for me.
That checks out.
So these are the two podcasts I'm on. They're Chats and they're this. But I also want to shout out a podcast that I guested on recently. It's called Bottle Crow Reborn. That's Six's. This is the most self-indulgent plug zone where we're just like, no, you should listen to their podcast. And then they should listen to mine. And I should listen to yours. And that's how we do plugs. But we're doing it anyways because Bottle Crow Reborn is a Dota 2 podcast where, since Dota 2 is often a bad game, Six and their co-host Nick often talk about food. And they had me on their most recent episode to talk about my first time ever having Taco Bell. And
for 40 minutes. Like, it is 40 minutes of Taco Bell talk.
And then I was like, wait, do y'all still, like, do a podcast of this? And then you're like, yeah, there's Dota to talk about. And I was like, I'm going to go nap. But I'm staying on mic. Basically, it's great. Check it out, Bottle Crow Reborn.
Nice.
And okay, last step of the plug zone. Do you watch esports ever? If you don't, thanks for listening. If you do, Midas Mode 2 is coming real soon. It's going to be the most fun you've ever had. It's going to be so cool. It's going to be so great.
Can you explain Midas Mode in a short way?
Okay, Midas Mode is a Dota tournament where you have to basically spend fake currency to get access to basic game features, and you earn that currency by doing stupid things.
Oh.
So, for example, like, one of the things they're doing is, so in Dota, there's the concept of creeps, right? Which are, like, minions that are just controlled by the game, right? Yeah. They just sort of automatically walk down. Except for they're not. This year, they're controlled by VIP attendees of the tournament, just people who are in the audience.
Oh, fun.
And so, like, you can pay, like, the team can be like, I'm spending this many, like, moon bucks to enable audience control of the creeps, and they'll just do whatever the audience fucking wants. There's a bunch of shit like that. It's really fun. Last year, you could earn money by doing a bunch of stuff like giving the other team presents, and it was hilarious. It's an incredibly good time.
Super into it.
So I just promoted a Dota tournament. I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah. I get that we should probably stop talking. Alan.
Yeah, what's up?
How do we end this? How do we close the door?
The only way that they let us out of the legislative office is if I speak the secret password. And it is as follows. This is a game for kids. So let's be adults.
Peace.